Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Well, it's that time again, time for the grill room. Powered by GolfWeek.com and, of course, GolfBlock.com. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. And, Alex, it seems crazy, but we're still playing golf. We got a couple of weeks left in the year. I guess one more week, though, and we'll be on our holiday break. So without further ado, let me bring in our man, Alex Maselli. And let me begin, Alex. Is the season too long?
Well, first of all, I've been on a holiday break for 3 months, so I would have to say yes.
You've been on a holiday break for 15 years or more that I've known you, so don't give me that.
Yeah, I think it's too long. I mean, I think if you look at any major sport, let's take baseball right now. I mean, obviously the season is over, but now we're talking about signings and all the things that are going on with that, and then pretty soon we'll go through the holiday, meaning, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it might be, come out in January, and there'll be some focus on football, probably mostly on football, and then all of a sudden we're going to spring training, and it seems like a natural progression. This that we're into now in golf does not seem like a natural progression. But one thing I have to say is you know, you can't dismiss the fact that, you know, on the other end, the southern hemisphere, there is golf going on because it's that time of year. And unlike any other sport, unlike our NFL or baseball or other sports, you know, we don't focus on those things that happen maybe outside of the realm. As an example, there's winter baseball going on, I think, in the Caribbean and South America. Like that. We just don't focus on that the same way we focus on golf worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point you bring up there. And you know, quite honestly, I mean, Australia is such a huge part of golf. I mean, it's a country that loves its sport. They play it a lot. They have some of the greatest golf courses on the planet, as you well know. So in order to include Australia in part of the season, so to speak, you know, we have to capitalize on this time period. And you know, certainly I'm happy that Australia gets its due with its Open and its PGA because in reality, they're big events, and, you know, they've been big events for a long time. I mean, Jack Nicklaus and all those guys, they used to go down and play in those events.
Right, they did, and I think, you know, South America, or rather South Africa, is the same way. So there's a lot of golf going on that's major golf that just happens to be outside of our, you know, sphere of influence, and I think you have to give it its due as well. There's, I mean, let's be honest with tennis as an example. The Australian Open starts off their major season in January down under, usually in, I think, in Melbourne. So these are things that, you know, we just have to deal with. But on the PGA Tour side, there is no question that the season as it is currently is too long, and I think most players would tell you that. But here's the problem, and we've talked about this before. The bottom line is the commissioner's job, one of his biggest jobs, is to continue to create playing opportunities for his members. Now, Phil Mickelson probably doesn't need more playing opportunities, or Jordan Spieth, or Jason Day, but, you know, some of these other guys do need playing opportunities, and it would be unfair to them if the PGA Tour is actually a democracy, to eliminate some of these events because they're events that the other guys don't care about.
When I think of all the tournaments that are available, it seems like, you know, one segment of the entire picture, Alex, is the fact that the West Coast swing seems to have suffered a little bit. It's almost like a lot of players are taking the West Coast swing off, and then they pick it back up when we go down to Florida. So, you know, you get more opportunities in the fall, but players are not playing nearly as much on the West Coast as they used to.
Well, I think that's, you know, if you didn't have the fall series, or whatever they want to call fall, as being part of the FedEx Cup playoff events, then they wouldn't hold as much sway as they do now. So you're right. I mean, if I played two or three or four events in the fall and courses that I like, and I decide to take off the West Coast, I'm not behind the eight ball, where if I started the season at Kapalua on the PGA Tour and I decided to take the West Coast off, now all of a sudden I'm clearly behind the eight ball for the FedEx Cup. So there's a difference there. And I think the other part of that is that you take a look at the players that have European Tour cards. They are going to spend time in the desert this year. Even Jordan Spieth is going to go in the desert this year, is my understanding. So you got those guys going in the desert, which is directly against the West Coast swing. So that's another reason why the West Coast swing kind of suffers. But at the end of the day, you're playing for $7-plus million generally on a PGA Tour event in the West Coast. And the fields are less because of the because of daylight, so it's not 156. It's going to be less than that. So I mean, you know, if you're a guy that likes the West Coast, I think you could, you know, you can make hay. Jimmy Walker has done a pretty good job on the West Coast over the last couple of years.
He certainly has done that, and there's something later on in the show we're going to talk about that may help out some of those stops on the West Coast. But that'll be coming much later in the show.
The Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military as well as our veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Don't forget, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com. We're proud. We're heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be going around the world of golf when we return. And just as a little tease for Grill Room listeners, some things are in the works for next year to expand where you're going to be able to listen to the Grill Room. We're excited about it. I know you will be when it happens. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be around the world of golf.
You're listening to the Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
As promised, Mr. Maselli, time to go around the world of golf. And why don't we begin with the European Tour? There were two events on the European Tour schedule, the Ned Bank Challenge and, of course, the Australian PGA. Ned Bank Challenge, top, 30 players only in the field, but a pretty good field down in South Africa.
Well, as if you've been following what's been going on the European Tour, you'll know that the Ned Bank is going to be part of the race to Dubai, a significant part when it's one of the last three. So this 30-player field will be gone after this year, but Mark Leishman was certainly clearly happy about the fact that it was still there, finishing with a closing 67, 19 under, big victory over Henrik Stenson, who's had a lot of success at that venue. I have to be honest with you, Bob. I had never really realized this until I was in Turkey, but talking to a lot of players, they really, really enjoy the Nedbank. And it's just, I guess it's an environment that is so good down there. The facilities are nice. The things you can do. I mean, I heard guys talking about how they would go out on safari in the morning and come back in and then play their tournament round in the afternoon. Not too many places you can do that around the world.
Absolutely. And Mark Leishman said that he went on a safari before one of his rounds. And one comment about Mark Leishman, and it leads to even a little broader discussion about what's transpiring in golf right now. Alex, it seems like the players are making less bogeys. I mean, Mark Leishman, what did he do? He made three bogeys for the week. Bubba Watson, who we'll talk about, that won the Hero, he only made one bogey for the week. One of the things about Tiger, and he is going to be a hot topic in the grill room, that I distinctly remember, Tiger played with the attitude that he was going to avoid a bogey at all costs. But when it was really popular 15 years ago or so to go out and try and make as many birdies, if you made a bogey, it was no big deal. Tiger played, if making a bogey, he hated that. He hated it far worse than he did enjoying making a birdie. And I'm seeing a trend going in that direction now. Is it just me, or is it really the better players are eliminating bogeys?
Well, I think that's it. And I think the reason why that's the case, Bob, is because their short games are just so good. I mean, you see guy. I mean, Bubba Watson doesn't get credit. He gets credit for his length. Doesn't get credit for the short game that he has. And you could see it not only this week down in the Bahamas, but I remember walking around with him at the President's Cup. In the first hole, he was playing with J.B. Holmes, put a great jive in the middle of the fairway, and J.B. Holmes got up there, first time he's played in the President's Cup, and didn't hit a bad shot, but just hit it just a touch left. It was a back left pin hole location, and he was his ball landed in the rough on a downhill slope, and it was a tight situation for Bubba Watson, and he put it up there to about 3 feet. And when you're walking up and looking at it, you're like, wow, that's going to not be very easy. And President's Cup, the whole nine yards. And, I mean, this is the kind of short game that Bubba has, and we don't give him enough credit. And that's, I think, why, just in general, why these guys play so well, and they eliminate a lot of bogeys.
Let's hear now from Mark Leishman on his victory at Nedbank.
Oh, man, it's awesome. Haven't won since middle of 2012, so to obviously win here is huge. It's been a while, and I knew I'd have to play well to give Henrik a run, and lucky enough to play well and hold some putts, and it was good enough.
There also was the Australian PGA Championship, as you well know, Alex, and Aussie Nathan Holman wins on the first playoff hole, but there was a guy in the playoffs, he's from the United States, Harold Warner III, coming off the Web.com tour. He seems to have exceptional game. You know anything about this young guy?
Well, Harold Varner is. He does have exceptional game. He's got his PGA Tour card. He's a very good player. He's had a pretty decent fall on the PGA Tour, and now all of a sudden you see him finishing in a tie for second, losing in the playoff with Dylan Fittilli from South Africa. It was a surprise to me, and I think, you know, first of all, why Harold decided to go down there. Obviously, he wanted to go. He wanted to experience it. The tour is over for this year. And then play so well. I just think that this is just another example of how many really, really good guys we have on the PGA Tour that we know little or nothing about and that are continuing to make a name for themselves. You'll see Harold Varner now show up, you know, this year in 16 on the PGA Tour, and you'll see him playing, I'm sure, in Sony, and see him playing on the West Coast. And it won't surprise you if you see his name on a leaderboard or at the top of a leaderboard at the end of 4 days, because he's clearly just one of those guys that has got game, that has found a way to start exhibiting that on the PGA Tour.
speaking of guys that have game, he's only 35 years old. I think every one of our listeners would agree that he didn't achieve his full potential, but he still has a lot of talent, and I think he's got a lot of time left, and you never know. And, of course, I'm talking about Sergio Garcia. He got his name in the Vietnamese golf history books as he won the first edition Ho Tran Open. You know, quite candidly, not an overwhelmingly strong field, but a win in golf, Alex, is a win in golf. And Sergio Garcia, I would not be surprised if he won a major next year. Would you be surprised?
Oh, I guess yes and no, which is not really a great answer. I think, yes, I'd be surprised. Well, I'd be surprised because it seems like when I see him now, his interest level isn't the same as it was in the past. But at the same time, I agree with you that he does have game. He is certainly very, very talented. And as you know, it only takes one really good week at the right place. And maybe Troon is the right place. Maybe Augusta National is the right place. Maybe Baldesraw is the right place. You know, you just don't know where it is for someone like Sergio Garcia. But, you know, he's been in those situations before, and he's done well. He just hasn't gotten over the hump. But even this week in Vietnam, I mean, he kind of struggled at the end. He kind of gave it up, and then he had to kind of get it back. And I think those are things that you have to work through. And in Sergio's case, he's still working through them. But you're right. When you get a win, you never know what that's going to do for you. I can remember John Daly winning in Korea and then turn around and winning again. I think they're important. No matter where they happen, if you can get across the finish line first, it is very, very important for your psyche going into the rest of the season.
Well, certainly Sergio Garcia could add a little spice to the upcoming season that, quite frankly, on the surface is full of spice with the big three, Spieth, Day, and McIlroy. Everybody's ready to concede all of the majors to those guys. And I've been making the comments on a couple of other shows that I think there's a greater chance that that big three doesn't win one major than there is a chance that they will win a major, because it's just that difficult, and the fields are so much, not just top-heavy anymore. The strength of the fields from the top to the bottom, and one guy that's certainly going to be a contender, I believe, once again in all four majors. He already won the Masters a couple of times, but he picks up the Hero World Challenge, and it was the guy you were talking about just a couple of minutes ago, Alex, Bubba Watson, and I agree wholeheartedly with the fact that he gets so much attention with his long game, and he does hit it a country mile. So, it's accurate discussion when you mention his long game, but very few, like you did, really point out that he's got a terrific pair of hands, and he displayed it even at the Hero World Challenge. They have some waste areas. They're not bunkers, but obviously there's sand, and some of the shots that he put on display, Alex, it was blowing the commentators away, and you'd say, no way he could hit a shot like that, but he does do it. And I'm curious, Alex, what about this putter change? Using a dot system, a little confusing to me. Apparently it was created by the Ping engineers, where they took the line off the top of his putter and they put dots there. What are we talking about?
Well, I think what we're basically talking about is someone that's a little different than everybody else. And I mean, everybody learns differently. Everybody gets comfortable in different ways. And the good thing is, in this case with Bubba Watson, he knows where his comfort level is and how to get comfortable. And luckily, the Ping engineers could take that and translate it into something that makes him comfortable over a putter. And, I mean, if this is what's going to happen, now all of a sudden Bubba Watson feels like he can putt well. You know, putting is 99.9%, in your head, or if you're Yogi Berra, it's 105% in your head. I think this could be major, because not only does he drive the ball well, not only, as we just talked about, does he have great short game, but now all of a sudden he can putt better than maybe he was putting before. That's a pretty lethal combination, And anybody would want that going into not only the season, but into the four majors.
I have to take exception with one thing you said earlier. You mentioned the fact that you had the privilege of watching Bubba play in the President's Cup in Korea. But you also, one of the few journalists that I know, had an opportunity to play a round of golf with Bubba Watson. So you got to see it firsthand. And he made a comment, and I want to get your opinion on this. Bubba Watson flat out said, after winning the Hero Challenge, that he said, you people may be surprised, but if I ever get to number one in the world, I'm going to walk away from the game because I want to walk away on top. Was it something he said on the spur of the moment, or do you give any credence to it?
I give credence to it. Prior to this, he talked about the fact that he wants to win 10 times, and after 10, he was done. I think that the idea that he would get to number one and want to leave on top is certainly another thought that Bubba Watson has. I think that Bubba Watson sees golf as a way to earn a living for his family, and I'm sure at this point he's earned more than enough money than his family will ever need. So what's left for him is to maybe conquer a couple personal goals, one of them being 10 wins, one of them being world number one, and then he's got two kids, and he's got a lovely wife in Angie, and he's off and running, and will fish and do whatever else he wants to do. But his interest level in being out on the PGA Tour on a annual basis for 20 to 22 events a year is not the same as most people's.
Kind of amazing stuff when I'm listening to you say it. I know Bubba Watson also, not as well as you do, but know him pretty well. And when I consider that nobody ever was the number one player in the game and just said, you know, I'm going to walk away, it would take a special or maybe even a unique individual to do something like that. And I think Bubba Watson qualifies as special and certainly qualifies as unique.
You know, Bob, there's two players, I think, not golfers, but there are two athletes that I can remember distinctly that did that. One was Sandy Koufax, and one was Jim Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But nobody in golf is.
No, and I think you can make the argument for Barry Sanders as well.
Probably, yeah, probably. I mean, certainly greats in their sport that walked away at the right time. It probably is in the forefront a little bit more than usual because, you know, we're looking at Kobe Bryant. Maybe he stayed around too long. We're looking at Peyton Manning. Maybe he stayed around too long. It's hard. It's difficult. Look at Brett Favre. When he got released by the Packers, he desperate to play, went to Minnesota. Probably in hindsight, he would never make that move. I think one of the more difficult things to do is if you're really great at your sport, just to turn your back on it and enjoy retirement.
Well, I agree. And maybe Tiger stayed too long. What do you think?
Well, that's another possibility. Of course, we're going to talk a lot about Tiger later on, about some of the comments that he has made, or he did make while he was down at the Hero Challenge that has some eyebrows popping up. And speaking of eyebrows popping up, they pop up on your head, they pop up on my head when we talk about the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. What an incredible event, and we're going to be going back there once again. You and I both, we just love the place. We love the event. We love everything about Maui. And I'd like to mention our newest hotel partner, the Kapalua Villas Maui. They offer the ultimate hideaway where privacy is as much a part of the experience as the world-class facilities. Listen to this. 3 beaches, 11 restaurants, a wonderful spa. They have championship golf available. Tennis is available. So if a trip to Maui is in your plans, visit KapaluaVillasMaui.com or call them at 800-545-0018 to make your reservation today. Kapalua Villas Maui, the complete Hawaii experience.
You're listening to The Grow Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network. News and notes, that's next.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. 2015 PGA champion Jason Day agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
What a smile on the face of Alex Maselli. He loves this segment. News and notes. We got a lot to talk about this week. Why don't we begin with the Champions Tour School, a good friend of yours. I know you've had some contact with him over the years, Brant Jobe. He wins medalist honors and a mere $30,000, but has nothing, he'd gladly give that away for an opportunity to play for a year on the Champions Tour. Tough Q School, only five players make it and get the full exemption. Alex, Jose Caceres, this guy's amazing. Now he's going to resurface on the Champions Tour, and he's won a couple of times on the PGA Tour, so he could win very easily this year. Brant Jobe, I know you respect his talents. He could win this year.
Well, I think obviously the younger guys have a better chance to win than the older guys. And Brant Jobe, I think he played one Champions Tour event. I think it might have been in Texas before when he turned 50, and now all of a sudden he's going to be exempt for the rest of the year. And look. These guys that get exempt, they know what the deal is. They know that they got to get in the top 30, and if they don't, they're going to be looking at doing this all over again. So it's a pretty big motivator. And Willie Wood, who was one of the guys that got in, he had to qualify again. So Brant Jobe, Jose Caceres, Tom Byram, Willie Wood, and then Mike Grobe, who's won on the PGA Tour of Canada before. Those five guys are the guys that are going to get in. And I would bet you, Bob, I think you're right. You're going to see at least one of those guys win on the Champions Tour in 2016, because if not, they don't want to be in this situation again.
Yeah, it's awfully difficult to keep your card out there. A win is a nice thing. The next seven players get conditional status on the Champions Tour. Not the best, but they will get some playing opportunities. Let's go to the LPGA Tour Q School. Alex, China's Simon Feng. Is that how you say that name? You're better in Chinese than I am.
I'll go with that. It could be Fang. It could be Fang, but we'll go with Feng. I'm okay with that, Bobby.
All right. Thank you. Boy, I love that. And she played in an LPGA event when she was 14, so she obviously got some talent. I guess the biggest name coming out of Q School for the ladies, Alex, Cheyenne Woods, tied for 13th. She continues to impress.
Well, at least there's one Woods that's playing golf right now.
you couldn't wait to take that shot. Oh.
But, what was interesting is eight Americans in the top. So that was good. I mean, we're starting to see maybe a little more. But, China, Thailand, Mexico, Canada, South Africa, rather, UK, South Korea, and Israel. It's a pretty good mix, and it just shows you how international the LPGA Tour is and is going to continue to be in 2016.
Yeah, obviously, Michael Wan He's the commissioner of the true global tour in golf. You know, you have to hand it to the LPGA Tour. You know, they have players from around the world competing. The Web.com Tour Q School, that starts at a pretty popular place, PGA National in Palm Beach Gardens, home to the Honda each and every year. Great site, I think, for qualifying school for the Web.com Tour.
Well, I mean, it's just it's a difficult site, as you know, and if it gets a little breezy, it makes it even more difficult. But clearly, it's a venue that you can determine who is playing well and who isn't.
All right, time to move on. Jarrett Lyle, he does win the PGA Tour Courage Award. Battled back from cancer twice. He's now back on the PGA Tour. You're not going to meet a nicer guy than Jarrett Lyle, and I don't think that there was any hesitancy in giving him the award. He certainly deserves it.
Well, I don't think there's any question, and what will be interesting to see is what Jarrett's going to be able to do, you know, down the road now. I mean, he's been playing in Australia, came back to the U.S., played after started in the fall series, then went down to Australia. When he comes back to the United States, what he's going to be able to do, you know, he's starting to get his sea legs, basically. He's starting to get more comfortable, starting to get a little stronger. So it'd be great to see him play well when he gets back here in the United States.
Another award they give out, Alex, the tournament of the year on the PGA Tour in the best of categories. And that goes hands down to the Waste Management Phoenix Open. They run quite an event, you know, with that infamous 16th hole, the par 3, where they have so many gallery people and such a party atmosphere. Nothing quite like the Waste Management Phoenix Open on the PGA Tour schedule.
No, and not only that, Bob, I think what you're going to find is the 16 is kind of outgrowing itself, and now they're going to be extending what's going on at 17, which is the drivable par 4. I mean, I can be honest with you, within 5 years, I think you could see 17 engulfed in stadium seating just like 16. It's a venue that is incredibly special, incredibly interesting if you're a tournament director, because the Thunderbirds and Waste Management together, you know, they generate tons of money, millions and millions of dollars for charity, which is what their whole job is. And there's no tournament practically, maybe with the exception of the Byron Nelson or Valero, that come even close. And in those particular cases, they do it a different way. But what Waste Management does in the Thunderbirds at the Phoenix Open is an unbelievable testament to what you can do if you really put your mind to it as a tournament director.
And I think our listeners might be surprised. More people go to the Waste Management Phoenix Open than any other event on the PGA Tour and never see a golf shot and walk away tremendously satisfied with their experience. It is quite an experience to be part of the scene. And our hats off to the Waste Management Phoenix Open people. And as you said, the Thunderbirds, they do an outstanding job. This next item on News and Notes, Alex, something very interesting. Beginning in 2016, 2017, PGA Tour is going to require players to add at least one new event to their schedule each season. Your take?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of exceptions to this. They're grandfathering in older players, and if you're a lifetime member, this doesn't extend to you, and so forth and so on. But what the plan here is to get younger players to go ahead and start participating so they're not locked into a schedule that they keep forever. You can see some players that really basically don't change their schedule at all. And what Tim Fincham is trying to do, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, is to allow for some of the events, and I'm not saying lesser events necessarily, but just events that maybe wouldn't get these players normally to participate in them. And, you know, if we go all the way back to when Tiger started playing, Tiger used to play in some other events. I mean, he played in Vegas in the past. He played in Milwaukee in the past. He played in Atlanta in the past. He just completely decided not to play in those anymore. And these are events that it would be nice to see Tiger go back to, especially Atlanta, where at the time he was defending champion and didn't return. So I think this is the theory that Tim Fincham is using. You have to remember as well that they've signed a lot of sponsors to long-term deals. And these sponsors require more than just getting branding and using television to promote themselves. And they want to see some of the other players that they haven't been able to see in the past at their events. And so this is all part and parcel of what Tim Fincham is trying to do, is to create an environment where these players will show up at these events in the future.
Well, this next item on News and Notes probably bringing a little tear in the eye of Alex Maselli. He thought he might be a contender. Came close, but not quite. Rory McIlroy's brand is worth over $400 million, and we know how valuable the Alex Maselli brand is, but I don't think you're in the $400 million category, Alex.
No, I have to agree with you, Bob. And I think if you start running the numbers, considering the age of Rory McIlroy, the billion number is certainly more than attainable for Rory McIlroy if he continues on the path that he's on, between his deals that he has now and new deals that he'll attain. There's no question that he will certainly get to that level and maybe even more, which could potentially surpass Tiger, depending on how you look at what his numbers are. And Jordan Spieth and Jason Day won't be too far behind. I think it's quite interesting that when you think about how much money some of the best players in the world made in the 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, the Arnold Palmers, the Ben Hogans, the Jack Nicklauses, those numbers, if somebody said to them that when you got to 26 or 27 or 28 or even 30, you'd be worth $400 million, they would have been looking at you very, very weirdly.
Well, I saw that same look on Gary Player's face. You know, he was part of the festivities down at Sun City in South Africa. He was the designer of that golf course, and he was on the green when Mark Leishman was getting his check for $1,250,000. And I was wondering, I wonder how many tournaments Gary Player would have had to have won to reach $1,250,000. I guarantee you it would have been an awful lot.
Well, there's no question, and I think that's the difference in what we have today. And, I mean, every player that plays owes a debt of gratitude to those other players. And a lot of them just look at Tiger. I mean, I think Rory McIlroy or Jordan Spieth are looking at Tiger as the reason why the numbers are where they are today. And I think that's a fair assessment. But prior to Tiger, you have to look at the other guys that brought it to that point. If it's a Greg Norman or a Tom Watson or a Jack Nicklaus or an Arnold Palmer, whoever it may be, that's where those guys are the reason why why Mark Leishman won $1.125 million in South Africa last week.
All right, enough about money, and the Grill Room's proud with this next item on News and Notes. Two very successful women amateur golfers have become honorary members of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews. First, Alex, how about Canadian Marlene Stewart Street, the only player to win the British Amateur, the Canadian Amateur, the U.S. Amateur, and the Australian Women's Amateur. And she goes in alongside America's Judy Bell. We got to know very well when she was president of the USGA. And now we're going to be having our second female president coming up very shortly. But to Street and to Bell, certainly well-deserved. And I'm really happy to see the RNA making that announcement.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. No question that both women are wholly deserving of being RNA members. And, you know, I think the RNA has started to embrace this idea of bringing women in and bringing the honorary members in. And I think it's great. And I think at the end of the day, if you talk to their membership top to bottom, they're relatively happy with the success of it as well. And it's very similar to what happened with Augusta National. Once they broke through that whole barrier, not only did they find that it wasn't an issue, but I think they enjoyed what was going on with it, and they enjoy those members as well. So I think it's a big plus.
One other thing, I was thinking, if there was a way to evaluate accurately one's love for St. Andrews and the village and everything about it, they would extend membership to my partner Alex Maselli, because I have yet to meet anybody in the world that loves St. Andrews more than you. I'm going to notify the RNA, Alex, and see if they can take a look, mainly based on, you know, you've made a lot of contributions in the world of golf through different venues, but your love of St. Andrews is unequaled. And to me, they may take a look, may bring you in as a member.
Well, that's very kind of you, Bob. We'll see what happens. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Tiger Speaks, that's our hot topic. Stay with us. It's next.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere. Alex, right now I'd like to mention our newest hotel partner, the Kapalua Villas Maui, the ultimate hideaway where privacy is as much a part of the experience as the world-class facilities, 3 beaches, 11 restaurants, a great spa, championship golf, and world-class tennis. If a trip to Maui is in your plans, visit KapaluaVillasMaui.com or call them at 800-5-
Hot topic when talked about.
You can imagine yourself playing competitive golf again.
Therein lies the tough question, the tough answer, because I have no answer for that, and neither does my surgeon nor our physios. There is no timetable, and so that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part for me, is there's really nothing I can look forward to, nothing I can build towards. It's just taking it literally just day by day and week by week and time by time. It's different from any other the surgeries and procedures I've had in the past where, okay, you blow out your ACL, which I did. I had ACL reconstruction, and okay, you're back in 9 months. Okay, that's the timetable. For nerves, there are really no timetables. And that's, therein lies the trickier part of it, because you can come back earlier or you can come back later. It just depends on how the nerve heals and how it settles. This is my third one, and it's on the same level, so I have to. I don't have any choice.
All right, we just heard from Tiger. A couple of things worth talking about, obviously. We learned that there's really no timetable for his return to competition. He seemed very saddened by the fact that he doesn't have one. He's kind of in what I would call medical limbo now, because as he said, you know, when you're dealing with nerves, it's not like cartilage, it's not like muscle, it's not like bones. You know, nerves, you know, they heal when they want to heal.
Well, I mean, that's clearly true. I'm not questioning him, but I guess the first question to you, Bob, is how surprised are you that not only did he say what he said, but clearly meant what he said?
I was very surprised. I'll be honest. You know, it hasn't been his style, but it probably indicated to me for the first time the, you know, real realization that we're not going to see Tiger of old ever again. We're not going to see him be able to compete at the highest level. And there's some factors besides the medical side of it. I mean, the landscape of competitors now on the PGA Tour, and we've talked about it constantly on this show, Alex, it really has changed. I mean, the depth of fields. I mean, they used to say, you know, you take a top 100 guys, you know, maybe 20 or 30 of them with a realistic chance of winning. Now that number is probably 60 or 70 out of 100 with a realistic chance of winning. And, you know, despite the greatness of, you know, you know, Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Rory McIlroy, you know, they're going to have their hands full because there's so many competitors out there that are not even, you know, afraid of those guys. I mean, you look at those big three and you say, wow, you know, they're invincible. But then you look at Dustin Johnson and you look at Bubba Watson, you say, hey, wait a minute. Both those guys hit it by those three guys. So, you know, the landscape has changed. Tiger, I think the seven operations probably has caught up with him. And it seems like what we're witnessing is a softer Tiger. You know, whether he's doing this as a result of really having more time as a parent, it kind of changes your perspective in life, or he's doing it because he realizes that, hey, wait a minute, if I maintain the attitude of being very aloof, I'm going to be completely forgotten in this game to some extent. So let me change my approach. And I think, you know, I offer as evidence, Alex, the fact that he gets a hold of Davis Love and says he wants to be assistant captain. He wants to drive a golf cart around at the Ryder Cup. I mean, golly, I mean, it almost seems sacrilegious.
Well, let's listen to actually Tiger talk about being part of the backroom staff for the Ryder Cup.
I've been on enough teams. I've been a part of the team since 97 with Jim and with Phil. And I think that I certainly feel like I can help the team, and I certainly can help Davis, but I can help all the guys who are going to be on the team and whatever capacity and whatever role I may serve. But as to be picked as a vice captain by Davis is just truly an honor, because I was committed to this when we formed the task force, and then we eventually had the Ryder Cup committee, and subsequently Davis is, you know, honored Tom, myself, Jim, and Strix with spots on the team, to serving as a capacity of assistant captains, and that's a tremendous honor. And we worked our tails off to get this this thing rolling in the right direction for not just this cup, but for the next subsequent 10 cups. And I think that we can do that. I think we have the blueprint. We have the right people in place. And I think we set up really well for cups down the road, that who's going to be, you know, involved in the cups. So I think that our plan is certainly come to fruition. It's starting to, you know, roll out. But eventually it's up to the players, and it's up to us to try and hopefully help them whatever capacity that is, and, you know, win the cup back.
All right. So that desire certainly came as a surprise to me. Everybody's asking the question, will Tiger play competitive golf again? Right now, I would say it's 50-50 that he plays competitive golf, maybe not even that high, maybe 70% that he doesn't, 30% that he does. But then, you know, once he gets to put that peg in the ground in a competitive event, What score is going to go up on that scorecard at the end of 72 holes, hopefully, or, you know, maybe 36 holes? That's the bigger question. He may get back to playing competitive golf again, but how competitive can he really be?
Well, Bobby, I'm going to say something that may shock you. A, I believe that he will play competitive golf again, 100% believe that he will. And B, I still think he has a chance to win a golf tournament. And wouldn't be surprised if he won a tournament. It won't be a major, but I do believe he still will win a golf tournament. And I think it's because he's 40 years old, or going to be 40 years old in December. It's clear that he has issues, physical issues. But I think over time, a lot of that's going to get better and better. If he doesn't require any more surgery, that will get better and better. And maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, you'll start seeing Tiger starting to play better and starting to put some numbers on a scorecard that he's happy with. And then all of a sudden, you'll see what happens from there. But somewhere down the road, the competitive juices that Tiger has, and if his body can hold up, will give him an opportunity somewhere to win a golf tournament. And I still think that can happen. But it's going to be a long road to hoe, but I think there's no question in my mind that he will return to competitive golf at some point.
Well, I have one wish at this juncture. I sure hope Tiger's not listening to the Grill Room. If he is, Alex Maselli talking about Tiger in those positive terms, he might have a heart attack. But I feel good because all the hard work on the Grill Room convincing you the greatness of Tiger has finally won Alex over where he thinks he's going to play again and he's going to win again. You're hearing it first as we conclude the 2015 season in the world of golf, a 2015 calendar year. That makes it more understandable. Alex Maselli going to bat for Tiger Woods. Good job, Alex.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We will round out this show with what's next on the schedule after a very short break.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
He said it, we'll do it. What's next on the schedule? Only two events left on the schedule for this calendar year. The Franklin Templeton Shootout Pro-Am and Tim Tebow going to be playing in that. Name we haven't heard too much of lately. And, of course, the PNC Father-Son Challenge, where the Longers will be defending their title. But some other guys, high-profile father and son combinations, Alex, Jack, and Gary Nicklaus, Davis and Drew Love, Fred and Taylor Funk, Steve and Sam Elkington. Really a nice little tournament, that father-son.
Yeah, I think it's actually a great tournament, quite enjoyable. It's nice to see Jack playing. It's nice to see a lot of those guys playing. And before, there used to be Arnold would play and Raymond Floyd would play. So a lot of guys that you hadn't seen in a while, Trevina would play. So it's always been a great event, and it's nice to see. But it does mark, as well as you have said, the end, the clear end of golf in North America for 2015, which I'm certainly glad to see. And I know once we get to Kapalua, we'll be very excited about 2016. But right now, that's it for this week. Before we close, we'd like to wish a happy Hanukkah to all our friends and listeners who celebrate that holiday. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week and GolfBot.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, thegrillroom.com.
Thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, the real backbone of golf courses across this great land. Also to Ion Loop and the GolfBot.com. And thegolfweek.com. So for Janet Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. And do us a favor, follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.